Your friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The part of the catechism on which our Wednesday evenings will be focused this Lent is the part of baptism. So we read from Titus chapter 3, beginning with the fourth verse. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, he saved us, not by righteous works that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is the word of God. Dear friends, have you ever drank water from a fire hose? Seeing no hands, I'm pretty sure, oh, there is one. I'm pretty sure the reason most of us have not is too much water at once. This is not too difficult. But that's the saying, isn't it? When there is too much to handle at one time, it's like drinking from a fire hose. And I guess we'll have to get the story later from Bill. Up until now, I haven't spoken to anyone, or in my Google search, I didn't see any YouTube videos of anyone really trying this, drinking water from a fire hose. It's too much. I did end up on this channel on YouTube called Super Slow Motion. There's a couple of guys who were playing around with a fire hose. And the one surprised the other at lunch and knocked over the table, which knocked over the guy because it's a fire hose. It's very powerful. Their next experiment they had, one of them was on a stage sort of like this, and was on a skateboard, and they wanted to see how fast they'd push the guy into a foam wall. So that was fun. And then the third trial they had was the one man charging the other with the fire hose in order to, I guess, simulate an assault, but he never made it because it's a fire hose. It's just too much. And then you get to watch it all in slow motion. That was the point, and it was a lot of fun. Permit me another story before we really dig into the text. I was also listening to the radio this week, and a young woman was describing her church, especially a day on which there were a number of baptisms, and she made the comment that you could tell one of the baptized got the Spirit. One. Because the person erupted into a lot of tears and emotion. To the young woman talking on the radio, it was just one who got the Spirit out of all of those baptisms. And so I thought, well, if you really need to see the Spirit in action in the baptism, I suppose we could plug in a fire hose and use that for the baptism. I don't mean to be flippant, but I don't think a whole lot of people, even a whole lot of Christians, understand how powerful baptism really is. And I'm not talking about the water pressure. Baptism is great power. And the Spirit doesn't need to be seen in order to be present in the water and the Word of baptism. It's important for us to know that. It was important enough for Paul to write to Titus about that in our lesson for today. It was important that Titus understood how to teach the people. This was one older pastor, St. Paul, speaking to a younger pastor, Titus, who was out and abroad to spread the word and to preach the same gospel Paul and Peter and John and all the other apostles were preaching. And they are remarkably, miraculously unified in their doctrine of baptism and all of its great power. It's a beautiful thing to turn to passages in the scriptures about baptism and to witness that great power. And so you might be wondering, well, how powerful is baptism? How much strength is there in baptism? And that's really not the right question. The right question is, where does the power of baptism lie? Because once we hear the answer to that question, then we know just how powerful baptism is. It's unquantifiable, because the power of baptism lies in the Word. And when God wants something to happen, when He really wants something to happen, of course He can use any means, but in Scripture over and over again, He uses the Word. He uses His words. And every time that word happens, the Holy Spirit is right there, causing that word to be powerful, inseparable with that word. When God wants something to happen, He doesn't generally use a typhoon or a whole lot of water. It doesn't depend on the water pressure in which God institutes a sacrament. No, it's in the Word. And the Word of God is capable of doing anything God wills. Do you want proof? Well, then just think about the beginning of the Bible. When God said, with His Word, let there be light. And there was light. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. Let there be, let there be, let there be. And it happened over and over again before we even existed. That's what God was doing. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, He did. That's the power of God's word over and over again. It's not what we see. It's not what matches our expectations. It doesn't always produce as strong of an emotion as we would like, although it does that. It does produce emotions. Law and gospel makes us sad, makes us alarmed, sometimes makes sinners hardened. Then law and gospel redeems, and it saves, it comforts, it consoles. The word is so powerful. And just like the difference between a drink of water from a garden hose and from a fire hose, or the difference between a sun shower and a downpour, the difference between a drizzle and a hurricane is the difference between just any normal word and the Word of God. It's the difference between any other use of water and holy baptism. Because there in holy baptism is not just the water, but also God's word. That's what God offers in baptism. A great power. So powerful that it doesn't just fall on deaf ears. It changes deaf ears. It changes the dead sinner, the person who is dead in sin. The great power has something even greater to say about you and I. Great power produces an even greater gift. That's how strong the sacrament is. In baptism, God unleashes His power to bring the gift of faith. Now, who could possibly receive that gift? Who possibly has big enough hands to hold on to God's mighty blessings that He ushers into the sinner's life in baptism? Now, again, we're asking the wrong question, aren't we? Because this is God. He can give this gift to anyone whom He wants. We are inanimate, incapable, helpless individuals by sin. So maybe it is a good question to say, doesn't the Bible describe us as good as dead? Aren't we lifeless, powerless, incapable of coming to God? Well, that's true. Yes. In fact, we read it in our text. Paul says there were no righteous works we could do ourselves to bring about faith. Another place, Paul says you were dead in your transgressions and sins. So your burial might as well already begin. But God doesn't bring burial. He does bring a kind of burial, but not a burial alone. In baptism, he brings a burial with Christ. We'll consider that in a couple of weeks. But for now, just consider faith. Consider who gets to receive that greater gift. In the Corinthians, in the book to the Corinthians, Paul writes that not many of you were wise. You weren't strong, you weren't these great people, but you were simple. You were unintelligent. You were low class, essentially. It's those kind of people. Yes, God brings people rich and middle class into the faith, but it cuts across all classes. It cuts across all skin colors. It cuts across any age category or size. This gospel is for anyone whom God wishes to bring back to faith. Let's take age, for example. Some people really have a hard time with the concept of a child, let alone an infant, receiving that greater gift of faith. I was on Facebook this week. Yeah, I go on Facebook. It happens. I was on social media, online. I'm in a group for youth pastors. And I didn't expect to see this, although I probably should have, just knowing different theologies, but someone brought the question, how young do I baptize? There's an 8-year-old coming to me and asking about baptism. And I think the majority of the Christians in that group responded, yeah, you should baptize that person. But most of them had the rule, if they know what they're asking, then you can baptize them. In Scripture, though, Jesus never hinders people of less intellectual ability. Jesus doesn't hold back people who aren't smart enough to receive his gifts. In fact, he says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Is it so difficult to create faith in the heart of a child as it is to create faith in the heart of an adult? I think we would even ask the question, isn't it harder to create faith in the heart of an adult? Because adults have that intellectual capability and desire to want to reason everything through. The idea that water and word can create saving faith in my heart, we may tend to challenge that based on all the other smart things that we've learned. And yet the Lord demands a childlike faith, a faith such as the little ones he invited to himself. No, friends, faith, while it may affect the intellectual, and it does give us intellectual challenges and exciting discoveries of the intellect, it's not merely intellectual. When God speaks through his word in baptism to the adult as well as to the child, we do not worry about whether it creates an intellectual ability or can be reasoned through. We simply trust the water. And like the rest of Scripture, we simply trust the Word. Because it's great, and it's powerful. And some may say, isn't that ill-advised? Wouldn't we rather have something in our heads or on our hearts that we could hold on to and that could really make us sure about this faith, about this greater gift and this great power? Let me ask, though, if you think that's true, what if the world around you were crumbling? Would you want something in your heart or on your head to hold on to rescue yourself? Or would you want some surer ground outside of you to stand firm so that you could catch hold of that firm ground so that you could rest there, maybe stand up, maybe even walk around and jump and skip and dance with joy because you're on firm ground and the whole world around you can crumble, but you have that firm ground of God's word. That's where the great power is, to give a greater gift. When your job spirals out of control and you cannot keep up, when your family relationships seem to bury you, or when you're buried in laundry and dishes and no one seems to be pitching in, and then that old dead Adam inside of you starts to fill up, puff up, and act out, when sin starts to arise, rear its ugly head, friends, this is what you ought to remember, is great power and a greater gift. You have a Savior God who's brought you into his family through great power and given you a greater gift. Instantaneous. Paul calls faith here rebirth. It's this instant justifying moment when you are God's own and Jesus dwells in your heart. And from that moment on, you're part of his family and he is your father and your brother and he loves you. No longer your enemy, but now reconciled as your friend. And don't forget, it wasn't something you did. It wasn't some righteous act that you contributed, but purely on God's firm ground of his mercy alone. Water affects us in so many different ways. It cools us, it refreshes us, it quenches us, it cleans. It does so many things. It's such a basic thing. And people are coming up with all kinds of incredible ways to use it. A good example I have of this is a pyro lance. It's actually a cutting extinguisher that was recently developed for firemen. It can cut. It's a hose, essentially, but it can cut through brick and metal. What an incredible, powerful thing. Because the idea is if you can cut through a wall and you can change settings and douse what's inside of a burning building, then you may not even have to send a fireman into that burning building. And pretty brilliant. Very powerful. Very much like baptism. Because in baptism, we've got a Lord who cuts through our stony heart, but with a purpose to douse our hearts, to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And ever since you heard that word, God has continued to fill you up with his promises and renew you with his Holy Spirit. With the kindness and love of God our Savior, who appeared to us so that he could bleed, so that he could die, so he could wash and renew. In his merciful name, we have great power and greater gift. Amen.